You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Yes, and welcome back to the US podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're well into the first round of the NBA playoffs. We'll be taking a look at some of the series betting and looking ahead to games 3 and 4 of the various series over the course of the next 20 minutes, half an hour or so. Sam Norris here once again, back in the presenter's chair, and joining me from the William Hill trading room, it's Stephen Back, who is still here, having had the unenviable task of trading the Warriors-Clippers the other night. Sam, I'm glad to see you still standing, sir.
Only just. The furniture was still in the same place as well after that game, but it was a long night, shall we say. Well, it was a long 20 minutes, that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, quite incredible. We're going to get stuck into that game in greater detail in a little while, but an NBA record, as you might imagine, coming back from 31 points down, the Clippers, to beat the Warriors. And it would be some achievement to come from 31 points down against any playoff team, but particularly one that is built like a fantasy basketball team in the Warriors. That was that was not expected by anyone.
No, it wasn't. It was a case of I wasn't really expected. I mean, I expected them to make it somewhat competitive in the fourth when they were up 31. I thought, they'll make it a game, maybe make it like a 10-point game or something like that. But they just kept on coming. They just never stopped in the fourth. It was ridiculous to watch. I mean, obviously Boogie Cousins went down early in the first quarter and it sort of looked a bit odd. They were all like, I remember when I was watching it, listening to the commentary, and they were saying that he'd fallen on his hip, and I was thinking, well, it can't be his hip, it was his other leg. And obviously that went wrong from the first. Curry had foul trouble all throughout the game. So never got into a rhythm. KD only took, I think it was 8 shots or something like that. He still put up 20 points, but Patrick Beverley seemed to get in his head for the second straight game. And then, obviously, last night he got a third straight technical as they went up 2-1. But it was extremely frustrating to watch from a trading standpoint, especially as there was some big positions on the night.
Yeah, particularly in your line of work, being an in-play trader, because I imagine if you're a pre-match trader and the Warriors lose, that's usually happy days.
It depends, but the problem is when the line's that short, then most people are going to just, as a punt, go for the underdog. But it was not the greatest of games. But in terms of, I'm not sure what the pre-match books were like, but I know mine wasn't a pretty sight at the end of it.
Indeed, I can imagine. Let's talk through some of the series betting then, starting with the Sixers at the Nets for the first game that we're going to preview. This is an 8 o'clock tip-off on Saturday evening. Of course, the Sixers leading the series 2-1. Brooklyn took the first, and then the Sixers came back and have won 2 in a row now. We mentioned right at the start of this series that whether or not Joel Embiid played was going to be absolutely pivotal to the outcome of this series thus far. They've done okay without him, the Sixers.
They did. I mean, last night they finally showed up. There was a comments from Jared Dudley that seemed to spur on Ben Simmons last night after he called him average in the half court, phenomenal in transition. But they just seemed to put him on last night. I mean, Tobias Harris had a massive game. Ben Simmons went for a career playoff high, 31 points. I think Tobias Harris, I think, was 29 points and 16 or 14 rebounds last night.
He's become a very nice piece for them since acquiring him.
He's the perfect complementary piece for them because he doesn't need the ball in his hands. Unlike Embiid, you need to feed the ball to him all throughout the post. Simmons needs the ball in his hands to be effective because he can't shoot, so you can't spot him up in the corners like you can the likes of JJ Redick, just run him off screens. Embiid, you can play him anywhere. Butler's similar to Simmons, and he needs a ball in his hands, but he seems to fit in really well, Harris, to what they need. They need that spot-up shooter and a guy who can slash the bucket and get layups, dunks, go to the free-throw line. And last night, it really came to fruition for him. He went 6-6 from 3, so it was ended up being a convincing win for the Sixers to regain home court advantage after they blew it in game one.
Yeah, indeed. Game four is quite a nice betting heat as well. The Sixers are 5-7, the Nets are 6-5. It's a 2.5-point spread. The Sixers giving the 2.5, 10-11. The Nets getting the 2.5 is 10-11. So it is a pretty tight betting heat. Given that the Sixers have already won in Brooklyn, I don't know what Embiid's likely status is for this game, whether or not he's going to be back, but -2.5 will appeal to some people, I feel.
Yeah, it will. The key for the Nets is just the three ball, it seems, because the reason why they won game one and they were competitive for most of game two was because they just shot the three and shot it well. Mm. And if they do that in game four, then they've got a very good chance of winning it and going back to Philly to tie it at 2-2. But again, it all depends on Embiid. I mean, if you watched him in game two, he played well, but it's blatantly obvious he's not fit. Mm. He's out because he openly admits when he doesn't play, he gets out of shape very quickly. And because he missed so much time at the end of the regular season, he looks a bit heavy. He's not sharp. He's obviously got knee problems with, I think it's an ongoing tendonitis issue he's got in his knee, which from personal experience is not pleasant when you're playing through. He just doesn't look that killer that he did at the start of the season when he was just putting guys in the basket and just owning them. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see, because they did look quite sharp without him last night. But again, you'd rather have him on your team because he is that X factor that can win you a game depending on what his fitness is like. If you just play him in short bursts, then he should come through. I mean, I'd be tempted to... It's as a short line, that will appeal to most to most players. Even just straight up on the money line, 5-7 is quite good value.
Yeah, indeed.
If you wanted to take them in that respect. But it's not out of the realms of possibility for Nets to win game four at home if they have a... if they have another hot shooting night like they did in game one and the first half of game two, until the Nets, the Sixers ironically just blew up from the field and went for 51 points in the third. But so I wouldn't say that it's out it's too far out of the realms of possibility for the Nets to win game four. So 6-5 is a good price on the money line, I'd say, if you want to go straight up.
Indeed. The Sixers are still 1-6 to win the series. The Nets are 4-1. When we were predicting this series last week, I think I went Sixers in six, and I'm still fairly happy with that prediction.
I think I went Sixers in five, so right. I'm not quite as confident in that one. But yeah, six on for the Sixers to win the series. I think we still think that they're going to come through. It's just how whether the Nets can steal another one on home court.
On to the game now between the Raptors and the Magic. This one tips off around about midnight on Saturday, going into Sunday morning. This is game three of this series. The Raptors are 10-21 on the money line for game three, 9-5 for the Magic. 5-point handicap here. The Raptors giving the five are 10-11. The Magic getting the five are 10-11 as well. The series betting sees the Raptors the 1-7 favourites. The Magic are 9-2. When we discussed this series last week, I said I had to go for the Raptors in five, because the Magic are that kind of team that they will just pull out a shock result, and they have done throughout the course of the season, and they did do in game one in beating the Raptors. Raptors have since come back to level the series, but that for me just epitomised what the Magic have done all through the regular season, and just shocked me in games that they shouldn't have been competitive in, and they were very good in game one.
It was ironic. Well, Kyle Lowry was terrible for them for the Raptors. True. Admittedly, after he threw up a goose egg. As I was gonna say, this game starts at midnight tonight, so it's
yes.
But it's a case of they really just had a heat up. DJ Augustine had a heat check game, and like you said, they just can turn up on any night and surprise people. I mean, I took the Raptors 4-1. I think, was it yourself? You said 4-1 as well. If you still want to back that, it's 2-1 with us for the series score. If you go on our website, you can get that at 2-1. Overall series betting is 7-on. So if you still fancy them to win the remaining three games in a row, it's 2-1, which isn't a bad price if you ask me, considering it's I think that's bigger than what we expected pre-series. But again, it was Kawhi Leonard showed why Raptors went out and traded everything they did to get him after he put up 37 points in game two and just put them on their back. And I mean, I've been listening to stuff recently, and you could argue that the Raptors have got the best three players on the court at any one time in this series, really. You've got Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry when he wants to be, it's the third best player, and Pascal Siakam is a difference maker for the Raptors. So in terms of looking at this game, a 4-point spread, I think that's very doable for the Raptors to cover that up. Sorry, 5-point spread. It's moved in the last hour since I wrote it down. But yeah, 5-point spread I think isn't insurmountable for the Raptors to overcome, to be honest. So that'd probably be where I'd be going. Be take them, take the spread to cover in this one.
Okay, Raptors minus 5 then, and you're still with the Raptors to win the series in 5 at 2-1, and say we've got full series betting on this one.
Yep, 9-4 if you think the Magic can take one at home. So Raptors 4-2 is 9-4, which is the lowest price for the series score. But 2-1 if you think the Raptors are going to sweep the rest of the series and go 4-1.
I was going to spin through all these games in chronological order originally, but the order of the website threw me off. So let's get back to chronological order now. That game is obviously a midnight tip-off on Friday going into Saturday. The 1:30 tip Saturday morning is the Pacers and the Celtics. Boston are currently leading the series 2-0. We're going into game number 3 between the Celtics and the Pacers, and the series betting heavily favours the Celtics, as you might imagine. It's 1-14. The Pacers are 7-1. Again, we've got full betting ahead of this game 3 in terms of the series. You can bet the Celtics to sweep them at 7-2, all kinds of series handicaps, etc. And all the betting, of course, ahead of game number 3 as well, for which the Celtics are 5-4 favourites. 5-4 outsiders. The Pacers are the favourites, 20-29 for them. 3-point spread. Pacers minus 3, 10-11. Celtics plus 3. At 10-11. The theme of this series, of course, so far has been that both games have been low scoring, particularly game one, which was an incredibly low scoring affair. We do associate the Pacers with strong D, but I have to say I didn't think either of these two would be falling that far of the under. I thought they might go on the unders, but I mean, game one, if you were an unders backer, you were lighting a cigar at half time.
Exactly. Even if you backed the alternates as well, then it was like you were watching 90s basketball again. It was I think 80-74 or something like that.
Yeah.
And in a current era of basketball, when you're used to every team scoring over 100 points, it was ridiculous to watch. But the glaring problem for the Pacers is they really miss Victor Oladipo when it comes to playoff basketball. In the regular season, when you can rely on a team defense and moving the ball, it works. But in the playoffs, you need that go-to guy to just say, right, I'm putting it on my back and we're going to win it.
And this could have been a great series if he was healthy.
I think it really could have. And it's a shame because, I mean, in game two, the Pacers led for a lot of the game. Going down the stretch, I think the Celtics went on, it was a 16-0 run or something like that. And the problem was in the fourth quarter, they just don't have that guy you can throw the ball to and get you a bucket at any one time and be confident that they'll get you a bucket, which is why I'm surprised that it's the Pacers are favoured by this much, if you ask me. A 3-point spread in favour of the Pacers. So 5-4 for the Celtics is a very tempting price on the money line, which I'm sure many of you will be backing ahead of this game. And even the plus 3 is more than tempting. Even if you think the Pacers are going to win, it's still quite a hefty margin because it could be a tight game going down the stretch again like the previous two games have been. And a Celtic sweep 4-0 at 7-2. Another very tempting price, 8-5, the favourite price for the 4-1.
Do you think this stays low scoring? I noticed the point spread here of 204 is obviously considerably lower than we would have expected pre the series, but just the way games 1 and 2 have gone, obviously 10-11 over and under. Do you think it's going to be the same kind of story in Indy as it was in Boston?
I can imagine it will be. In fact, it might even be more exaggerated in Indiana because they're going to want to play their style, which is a defensive brand. Keep the ball, slow it down, get a good shot. If it doesn't go in, then you're going to get a low-scoring game. I mean, I think the stat was in the first 7 games, the under went 7-0 for your pre-match lines. And then that went completely blown out of the water on Monday night when you had the Sixers and the Warriors games. But I think this series, it will be a low-scoring affair. So the under 204 is a very tempting play for this game as well. So I think if you wanted your nailed-on winner, I'd probably go for the unders in this game. But if you're going for a team to win, Celtics at 5-4 is a fantastic price, which is what I'd be taking. And even them on the plus, if you wanted to hedge your bets.
Yeah, indeed. That's game 3 of the Celtics and the Pacers then. On to the 2:30 tip Saturday morning, which is OKC and the Trailblazers in what opened up at the start of the round as the most competitively priced matchup in terms of the series. Obviously, Portland have established a 2-game lead. They go back to Oklahoma for game number three. The Trailblazers are 29-10 on the money line. OKC are 2-7. It's a 7.5-point spread here. OKC 10-11 minus the 7.5, and the Trailblazers plus 7.5 are 10-11 for game three of the series. The series betting remains fairly tight. Certainly one of the more tighter series bettings that we've got going on, as it was before they played any games. 5-11 for the Trailblazers with that 2-0 lead, and OKC are 7-4. I quite strongly fancied OKC coming into this series. They finished off the regular season really well. Thought this was an excellent opportunity for them. But they just haven't performed in the first two games. Their three-point shooting in Game 1 was absolutely abysmal. After that game, I thought, wow, the fact that they've only ended up being beaten by 5 here, there's no way they're going to shoot that badly again from 3. So I doubled down, backed them again for Game number 2. And it was another disappointing effort. We said right at the start of the series that if the Trailblazers were missing CJ McCollum, which they haven't been, that Dame Lillard was going to have to shoot absolutely lights out. He's done that anyway. He's been superb this series. Take nothing away from Portland and Lillard, because they have both been incredible. But OKC have been probably the disappointment of the playoffs for me thus far.
I think that's undeniable, to be honest with you. To think they have just been terrible. I mean, Russell Westbrook has been, his shooting numbers have been abysmal. He went 5 of 20 in game 2. He nearly came up with another triple-double, but it just, he just can't. Damian Lillard is locking him up.
Yes,
that's the only way you can point to it. Paul George just doesn't look right with that shoulder. I mean, we had many conversations in here talking about how he had an outside chance of MVP, and since that shoulder injury, it's just all fizzled away for him. I mean, to think we said it was a competitive series pre-series, before the series started. So the prices, if you'd taken them before the series started, it was 23-20 on the Blazers to win, and 20-27 on the Thunder. That's completely flipped the script. Yep. now that the Blazers have taken the first two games. I mean, like you said, Damian Lillard and CJ really lit them up in game 2. They went for a combined 62 points, 7 threes. I think between them, between those two, they made more threes than the entire Thunder team in game 2, which is one of the main reasons why you think it really has changed my view on this series as well, because I was like yourself, I was taking the Thunder 4-2.
Yeah.
And I just, you wonder where they're going to get shooting from. I think they will be able to get, they'll be able to take advantage of home court for at least one game, and I think they should, if they want to make this a series, they have to win game 3 now, because if they don't, then the sweep's in play. Mm. Of which, if you think the Blazers are going to sweep, it's 6-1 on the Blazers, 4-0 sweep. If you think it's going to be a 4-1 and they clinch it game 5 at home, it's 14-5. So, but if you want to, if you got the confidence in us in our pre-series predictions in 4-2, it's 6-1. If you've still got confidence in us, although our confidence in us in our prediction is waning fast.
And I think I went OKC in 5, so that's already dead in the water.
Yeah.
And if, I mean, there'll be plenty of people who are tempted by backing the Blazers to sweep, because if OKC keep throwing up this many bricks, then they're just, it's just an impossibility. The three shooting was so bad in game 1, I couldn't believe it. It improved a little bit in game 2, but it could hardly get any worse.
No, I mean, it was game 1 was made, I think the scoreline flattered OKC. They only
massively
lost by,
yeah,
4 points. But that was just thanks to a little late run. But they were outplayed for much of the game. Whereas game 2, they really were put to the sword as 114-94, so a 20-point win for the Blazers. And you look at the team, they are missing that defensive presence in the middle, which might hinder them going forward. But they've just got so much more shooting than the Thunder. I think you've got your two main guards. You've got Seth Curry as a shooter off the bench. They've got their bigs that can stretch the floor and shoot as well, and Leonard and Collins. So it's a real mismatch for the Thunder at the minute, which not a lot of people would have thought of. And going into this game, a 7.5-point spread, I think, is very generous.
Yeah, I agree.
Of which I'd be tempted to take, I think the Thunder will win, but I'd be very tempted to take the Blazers on the plus, because I think it will be a close game, this one.
Yeah, absolutely, all day. That feels like the most solid bet going into game number 3. On to some of the action on Saturday evening. Of course, we've already previewed the Nets and the Sixers, which is an 8 o'clock tip. On to the Spurs-Nuggets, which is another quite interesting series. At the time of recording, the series betting is down, but it's likely to be very tight between the two. We do have betting, however, ahead of what will be game 4 of this series, with the Spurs holding a 2-1 lead going into the second match in San Antonio. The Nuggets are 6-4 on the money line for game four. It's 10-17 for the Spurs. 3.5 point spread. Spurs minus 3.5 is 10-11. The Nuggets plus 3.5 is 10-11. We both thought this series was going to go the distance. It could still do, but I thought it would go the distance because both these teams are so good on home court that everyone would just win their home games and then the Nuggets would win by default because they have four home games to the Spurs' three. The series is tight, but it's not panning out necessarily the fashion that I thought it would do with two of probably the best two home teams in the league.
No, we both thought the same thing. We both thought it was going to be the Nuggets in seven, which...
It could still be, but
it's
taking
that way,
a different path than what I thought.
It is completely, yeah. I mean, it's neither team have performed poorly in this series. There's just been one better team on, slightly better team on the night because they haven't been uncompetitive games. I mean, another duel that the Spurs have managed to unearth late in the first round. Derek White had an amazing performance last night for them in game three. But it's a very tough one to call, I'd say this, because you know the Nuggets have to win game four in order for them to make it a series again.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be tempted to take the Nuggets on the money line at 6-4. But the Spurs are very good at home. They had one of the best regular season home records, and the discrepancy between them on the road, which is why I was so shocked that they stole game one
massively.
Denver. The discrepancy between their home and their away record was just phenomenal for how well they've played. But Pop is Pop. He will get a team to perform no matter what. Mm. Doesn't matter who he's missing, doesn't matter who he's got, he will get them to show up on the night. So I'd be tempted to say, because they need to win this game, I'd say take the 6-4 on the money line. But because it's such a close game, it's going to be a hard one to call. So you'd either want to take the Nuggets on the money line, which is probably what they're going to want to do, or if you wanted to hedge this plus 3.5. But because the Spurs are so dominant at home, the minus 3.5 is very tempting. I know that's sort of sitting on the fence, me saying you could take either side. But
massively.
Personally, I think they have to win this game, so the Nuggets on 6-4 would be my play.
Okay, on to some of the action getting underway early Sunday morning then. And we start with the series that probably looks the most dead in the water at this point, which is the Pistons and the Bucks. The Bucks have got a two-game lead going into game number three. They're 1-1,000 to win the series. I think you could stick another zero on that if you wanted to. 28-1 for the Pistons to do the unlikely. The Bucks to sweep is 8-15. We've got all the series correct score betting available for this game. And game number three, the Bucks are 1-4 in Detroit, 16-5 for the Pistons. It's an 8.5 point spread, 10-11 for the Bucks, minus 8.5, and 10-11 for the Pistons, plus 8.5. This was one of those series that we said before anything started. Obviously, it's a one seed against an eight seed. The side with the best regular season record in the Bucks against the Pistons, who needed to win out down the stretch just to creep into the playoffs. Blake Griffin's obviously been a huge miss for the Pistons. Hasn't played either of the first two games. They may have got closer in those two games. It's questionable whether they would have won. It's almost getting into the stage now where Dwayne Casey and the guys need to think about Griffin long term. Do you rush him back for a series that almost looks a little bit dead, or do you just protect your franchise player, who we know has got fragilities, has shown that throughout the course of his career? It wouldn't surprise me if they just sit Griffin now, because they've got no chance in this series.
I'm pretty sure he is out for the first. I think they announced he was out for the first round, but whether they decide to try and rush him back for game four, or if they manage to win tonight again. But
If they manage to win without him, then they'll be tempted for game four.
They'll be tempted, yeah, but I just think, given the size of his contract and how much money they're going to owe him the next four, I think it's 3 years they've got left on his contract, you've got to think there's no point in paying an injured star, and you've got to think for the long term. They can build around this team that they've got now. They just need to retool it again for next season, but I think it is almost a lost cause, this. I mean, 8-15... is still a very good price, if you ask me, for the sweep.
It's not even that bad, is it, really?
I mean, after game one, after my Warriors sweep bet fell apart, I jumped on them to sweep before last night. It was a 5-6 price, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the best bet I'd have for this game, obviously, I'd take the Bucks to cover, to be honest. The best bet, I think, for this one is if you want to take the Bucks 21 or more pre-match. So if you want to go through all our different markets, we've got the winning margins market.
Yeah.
Of which then, if you take the books 21 or more, it's 5-1.
Okay.
Which I think is a very good price considering
15-1.
That's.
That's the first half betting. Yeah.
It's
correct. A winning margin.
Winning margin
right,
is 5-1. 5-1 on the books. Of which they just covered it in the last game. They easily covered it in the first game. So if you fancy them to do it on the road again and just continue to pommel the Pistons, 5-1 is a very good price for them to win 21 or more. Easy money, I'd say, would be to take the books to cover at -8.5.
Yeah, I think that is a very, very good shout, to be honest. 5-1, 21 or more, the winning margin for the books in Game 3 of a series that, I have to say, does look a little bit dead in the water. On to the final game then, which is the Rockets at the Jazz. This is another one getting underway early Sunday morning. It is a two-game lead for the Rockets coming into Game number 3. And they are 5-4 on the money line in Utah. The Jazz are 20-29, a three-point spread for this one. 22-23 for the Rockets getting the 3 points. The Jazz giving the threes 20-21 for game number 3 of the series. Series betting, the Rockets are 1-8. The Jazz are 5-1. And of course, all the other markets, the handicaps and the correct scores available to you as well. This is probably the game that I've, or sorry, the series that I've watched the least of due to it being very late very often. And in fact, I didn't see either of these two games live. Have watched the highlights. I'm a little bit disappointed in the Jazz. I thought they'd offer up a little bit more in the first two games. Game 3 becomes crucial for them, of course. But at the same time, I've been impressed by the job that the Rockets have done.
They have. I mean, all of us in our team are surprised at just how badly they've been outplayed,
yeah,
the Jazz. Because
you didn't think it'd be this much of a mismatch.
No, especially in the fact that they've done the best job. During the regular season, they did the best job defensively on James Harden. They held him to his lowest points total of the season in a single game.
Yeah.
And relatively against his average, if they fared a lot better compared to the rest of the league. So we all thought they could really have a chance. And I feel bad because it's the worst matchup for them, because the Jazz, I think, are a better team if they lose in the first round, they're not a team that should have lost in the first round.
Yes.
But because of the way the matchups fell for them on the final night, they can count themselves very unlucky. But I mean, in terms of the series outrights, 5-1, I think, is a stretch for them to even win 4 of the remaining 6 games, just because of because it means they have to win 2 on, well, at least 1 more on the Rockets' home floor, which I can't see them doing, if you ask me, just because of how much they've been outplayed. I mean, Harden had it's amazing to think when he's just scores 32 points, it's not a lot for him. That's how dominant his scoring numbers have been. He had a 32-point triple-double in the last game, and it all seemed far too easy for the Rockets. So I'd expect them to put up a fight and come out for this game 3. I mean, the line is at -3 for the game, which is still very competitive. I mean, you slight favs on the Rockets on the plus for this game, but I'd say the Jazz to win. I'd say they are going to win this game because they need to come out with a statement, otherwise the series is dead. Of which then your sweep is in order. So if you think the Rockets are going to sweep, it's 4-1. If you think it's going to be a 4-1 series win for the Rockets, it's 8-5, which is your lowest price in this market. But even then, so any price, so this, you've got two ways of looking at it. So if you think that they're going to win both games at home, the Jazz, it's 4-1 win for the Rockets. Sorry, 4-1 for the Rockets to win 4-2, 4-1 for them to sweep. So either way, if you think they're either going to run the table or they're going to hold serve the Jazz at home but then lose out at game 6, it's how you think it's going to go. But either way, if the Rockets get back to Houston with a 3-1 lead, I think the series is over.
Yeah, indeed. I think, arguably, if you fancy the Rockets for Game 3 at 5-4, it's worth having a few quid on the sweep. Because if they go 3 games up, then I think it could be curtains. The writing could be on the wall. So if you're backing them to win Game 3 at 5-4... I have a little bit of the stake on the 4-1 that they sweep as well.
Exactly. It'd smell blood in the water.
Yeah.
And they're going to go for it. And I mean, I think he's trying to put... I know the votes are going to be in for MVP now, but I think he's trying to put a statement out there that this is what, and arguably as well, they'll want to have as much rest as possible because they're going to face the Warriors in the next round.
Yes.
No matter how they look at it. And depending on how much rest they're going to have, I think could help them moving forward. But it's going to be an interesting game three. I mean, admittedly, it's the late game of the night, but it's probably one that's going to be worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting with Harden as well, because nobody during the regular season, everybody thought that his, you know, everything he was doing and the numbers that he was hitting was not going to be conducive for playoff basketball. And I thought pre the series, as you mentioned there, that Utah would be able to bottle him up on a couple of occasions and that would give them the edge. But it's worked thus far, which is strange, because everybody said, you know, it's all well and good in the regular season, but when it comes to the playoffs, you can't have Harden scoring 30, 40, 50 points every night. But it's worked so far.
It is working, which it defies belief, because he's still, I mean, the some of the games I've watched, he still manages to get some of those, there's no other way of putting it because I don't particularly like the way he plays basketball, cheap calls, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Very easy and light calls that he gets, which he was getting all throughout the regular season. You thought, with the way that they officiate playoff basketball, he just wasn't going to get it.
Yes.
But he has somehow, and it's a case of if he gets the friendly whistle he has in the first round continuing, then they could be a play moving forward. But it's going to be tough going the further he gets in the playoffs, I think, because it will become harder and harder for him. But at the minute, I am shocked at how easily he's torn apart this Jazz defense.
Yeah, massively so. The final series that we haven't mentioned just yet, and at the time of recording, there is no betting on site for the series or for game number four, is, of course, the Rockets' likely opponents in the next round, the Warriors, who will be taking on the Clippers. Sunday 8:30, this one tips off. The Warriors taking a 2-1 lead into game number four. As you mentioned right at the top of the podcast, an incredible performance from the Clippers to come back from 31 points down to take a game off the Warriors, which in many ways, without sounding unbelievably patronising, and it will do, that for them is up there with, you know, not winning the series, obviously, but you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
just the fact that they've won one game, they'll be thinking, we've done incredibly well there, because everyone had this down as a sweep.
Exactly, of which many of the bookies will have won money, including my money, on the sweep.
Yeah,
that,
of course,
for that matter,
because
no one thought they were going to win a game, especially when they
tried. Not like that, either. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Not in that fashion, either. Especially to do it at Oracle Arena was phenomenal. But, I mean, for now I think they literally have lit a fire under the Warriors,
yeah,
because they really smoked them in game three.
They
didn't give them, I mean, it was a 19-point game at the end of the first quarter, and at that point they weren't letting them have a sniff come back this time, because Curry and Durant both had two fouls early on, and Kerr went, no, you're staying out there, and Durant lit them up for game. I think he had 38 points or something daft like that, and it was just phenomenal. But the only funny thing that has happened in the overall outright betting is the price on the Warriors has drifted out slightly. So we have got a market out again, which is the Warriors versus the field, of which the Warriors are 1-2, and you can get the field at 6-4, which if you're taking the field isn't a great price because it's shortened down from what it was.
Yeah.
But the Warriors at 1-2, if you continue to think this is the team to beat, then they are the play to go with. And it's the best price you're going to have had for a long while,
yep,
at 1-2, because they've been odds on like 2-7 and even around that price for most of the season.
Mm.
So this is the biggest price I think you've had for a while now.
Yeah, absolutely. 1-2 for the Golden State Warriors in the field, 6-4. Just before we wrap up, although we're not betting on it at the moment, the market will reappear. 4-1 Warriors by the end of this series.
Yeah, it's going to have to be 4-1 Warriors, of which you'd probably be looking at an odds-on price for that. But then again, I said it was going to be 4-0, so what do I know? Our predictions haven't exactly gone to plan as yet. But I'd say, yeah, it's going to be a short series and over. It'll be over in Game 5 at the at Oracle Arena again, and then they'll be looking toward who they're going to be facing in the second round.
Yeah, but as I say, a great achievement from the Clippers to get a game off the Warriors.
Definitely.
That about wraps it up then for this week. We will return next week to talk more playoff basketball. Stephen, thank you very much for that. Best of luck with the selections going forward. And Fingers crossed you don't have another night trading like you had the other evening. Hopefully it goes a bit more smoothly from that perspective.
Hopefully it does for the whole team, yes. But say good luck for the future, and thank you again for having us.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.